So, we finished up our studying on Ephesians 3, or excuse me, wow, I went to Ephesians. All the way, they both begin with an E, right? It was a test. Ezekiel, you're right, Ezekiel 37, which was, by the way, just a great exercise to go through, a great thing to be a part of. Thank you guys for joining us here, whether you were online out there or whether you're with us in person. We appreciate you being with us and also being with us in the Word. So, because there's nothing more powerful except for maybe what we're going to talk about now, and that's prayer. As I continue to pray on things and pray on things and ask, Lord, what do they need? What do we need to talk about? What do we need to be taught on? What do I need? What do I need? You know, because a lot of what I do, I don't just sit up here and preach at you. I get a whole week of this and God beating me up over a lot of this scripture that I got to kind of wrestle with. And so this one time he just said, hey, look, you can never talk enough about prayer. And as a matter of fact, we're talking about going back to church on Sunday, September 20th. And so it seems like we're beginning a new thing almost because we're coming out of all of this COVID stuff. And folks have been absent for the body for a long time. And they've struggled to get back in. And they're struggling with doing what's right. And they're struggling with their own health. And they're struggling with these things. And so if you're out there joining us online today, I want to say thank you for taking the time to join us this morning. And while you may not be able to be with the body in person, trust me, we are with you in spirit, as Paul would say. But to get there, to start this new thing, you got to come out on the right foot. Okay? You got to come out on Christ. You got to come out with God as your focus. For no ministry starting can start except for with God. God is the leader. He knows where you're going. So it's best if we pray and come to meet Him together in Him. And so I want to begin here. We're going to be in two places this morning. So if you want to turn there in your Bibles, and I suggest that you do, I suggest you follow along, mostly because sometimes I forget to put stuff in the slideshow, but also because I may add something or take something away. If you got a paper Bible, if you got a digital Bible, that's cool too. You can follow along there. But we're going to be in Psalm 3, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. But we're going to begin in Psalm 3. And as we're going through this series on prayer, I'm going to show you an example of prayer, which is going to be Psalm. And then we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, and what that means. Because Jesus put it in here for a reason. And so we want to grab a hold of that. But we're going to begin here in Psalm 3. I'm going to read through this fairly short psalm. And when we talk about a psalm, I want you to understand that psalms are two things. Generally, they are songs. So this would be something you'd put to Hebrew music and they would sing. And they are also prayers. So there are two things. And so I want you to remind you of that, because as we're worshiping up here, as Garrett's leading us or Jacqueline's leading us in this music, the words that we are singing are not just words we're throwing out there. It's actually prayer to God. That's our initial prayer. That's getting our hearts and our minds set right and set ready to accept the Word of God. And so we have here in Psalm 3, David's prayer. He says this, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying to me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me. My glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake up again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord. Deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. For the Lord comes, from the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessings be on your people. Let's pray. As we open your word, Lord, as we opened up in David's prayer, we now open our hearts to you. We know that the enemy is all around assailing us, whether it be COVID or this or that thing that's out there in the world, which seeks to take its attention away from you, which seeks to move our attention away from you, I ask that you would cast that aside, that you would strike it upon the jaw, that you would knock out the teeth of the enemy, that they would not come after us, but that we would proclaim your glory. And as we open your word, let the wisdom that's within it fill our hearts and our minds. Let it change us forever to look a little more like you. Pray this in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Good food, good meat, good God, let's eat. That was the depth of my prayers as a child. I didn't know much about praying. I didn't know what it really meant. And matter of fact, I really didn't come to powerful prayer until I hit my late teens, early 20s, when I started to read about prayer. Until I opened the book of Psalms and somebody sat down with me and said, "You realize this is like a book of prayers, right?" And I said, "What?" They said, "Yes, it's a book of prayers to God." Most of them being from David, some of them from Solomon and some other writers. They consider this poetry when they're talking about it in a genre, but really it's just a book of prayers. And so as I read through that, and then of course the second book which really got me was the book of Job. Job has some powerful prayers. Now, Job was a little edgy on his prayer time. He called God out, called God on the carpet. Then God came. And then Job was humble. But the power of his prayer manifest God. God came to answer him just like he came to answer David. Just as he will come to answer you and me. When we learn what prayer is about, when we learn the depths of this prayer. And it begins here in Matthew 6. We're going to go over there. And I want to begin with talking about the beginning. And we're going to begin in verse 5. And it says this, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows your needs before you even ask. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, I know some of y'all want to keep on going and you want to kind of go through the we're going to stop right there. There's so much theology just in those few words that we've got to stop there. And I want to begin by saying what it wasn't. See, what prayer isn't, is prayer isn't this recitation practice of just repeating the same words over and over and over again. It's not this standing public recitation where we stand upon street corners and show people how religious and holy we are. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is not babbling words. Now, look, we all get there, right? We're all praying and we're trying to find the right words and we kind of do some repeating. Hey, look, I've been there. We say, "Father in heaven, Father, 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 forgive Father, bring Father, Father, Holy Father, Father, Father." And we kind of get repetitive, but that's okay. That's not what it's talking about. We're talking about this recitation that they had. And they would do something like repeating the Lord's Prayer 50 times out on a street corner because that's what was going to save them because they showed how holy they were. That's not prayer in humility. That's not prayer of relationship. That's not prayer of anything but self. Look at me, look at me, look at me. And I'm here to tell you that prayer isn't necessarily sticking with the Lord's Prayer here in these words. Now, don't get me wrong, this is a good place to start. If you don't know what to pray, pray this. But this isn't intended to keep you in these words and these words alone. No, if we just look at Hebrews 5 and verse 12, it tells us this very thing that says, In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. See, God intends us to go deeper with everything. Jesus' intent was to say, this is where you start, but this is not where you stay. You grow deeper, and you get deeper, and you do deeper, and you speak deeper than what you really started off as. See, this thing was intent to go from what is written to the more mature. Growing in relationship. You know, there were certain things my wife and I talked about when we first started dating. You talk about the regular things. Who are you? What's your name? How you doing? Where are you from? What's your birthday? You know, you want to get the important things because you got to make sure you get the flowers and the gifts. There are the right days. What's your favorite color? What do you like to eat? Where do you want to go to eat? I don't know. I don't care. Well, neither do I. Make a decision. Well, let's go here. I don't want to go there. Some conversations never change. But can you imagine being married to your spouse or being with your significant other and never changing off the conversation of what's your name? What's your birthday? What's your favorite color? And that was the whole depth of your relationship. Probably wouldn't last long, would it? Probably feel really repetitive. You probably feel like you needed to go a little deeper. It's funny. It's the same thing with our God in heaven. Here's David, and we go back here and we go to verse 3, or chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2. What is he doing? He says, Lord, how many are my foes who rise up against me? Many are saying to me, God will not deliver him. And see here, he's speaking out to his Father in heaven. He has this depth of prayer, this depth of understanding, this depth of knowledge, this depth of love. Because he wants to go to the next level. He doesn't want to stay right where he was at. No, he's praying in honest and in earnestness. He knew who God was. It's personal. Because in the end, that's really where this begins. It begins in the beginning and it says this, our Father, and had our. Let's just begin there, our. You know, it's hard. Well, you preach on just one word. Yeah, I can preach on one word. I can preach a whole hour on one word. Hour. It's this corporate, collective understanding that brings us together. See, what it was talking about in here, what not to do, it's not talking about corporate prayer like we do on Sundays. Garrett led us out a little bit. Caleb led us through some prayer time. It's not this, it's not talking about that because that's essential. That's as we're praying here, he's saying, our Father who is in heaven. This assumes that this is even a public prayer because we're crying out, our Father in heaven. So even as he's saying, go into your room, what he's saying here is look, this is a corporate thing. This is a one God thing. This is our Father who is in heaven. It's ours. See, we have to admit that there is but one God. It's the same God for you, it's the same God for me. It's the same God for everybody who professes themselves to be Christian. It doesn't matter if I'm here or I go into Topeka in a Christian church there and they're talking about God, it's the same God. Now don't get me wrong, this is not the same God of people like the Muslims. That's a different God. That's a little g God. I'm talking about the Christian faith and what we're praying out to, and we have to admit it's the same God, because when we do, guess what? Then we're a family, because of who it's our Father. So we're the children of God, which means we're family. Amen. Whew, I was hoping so. I thought you might be sleeping out there on me this morning. We're the children. We're brothers and sisters. And we have this one God. And he belongs to us and we belong to him. It's relational. See, that's the second word as we move on here. It's our Father. It's setting up the relational aspect of this prayer that's fixing to happen. Now understand this, that this is Jesus speaking. So these would be some like red letters in some of those Bibles, right? Those are like the only important words. That's not true. It's all inspired by God. What I'm getting at here is this is Jesus, the Son of God, right? Born of the Virgin Mary. God came down, put his hand upon Mary. Mary has this child who's of God and who's of flesh. He is the Son of God. He was baptized and in coming up, he said, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." The very voice of God comes out and declares this. This is the Son of God. And yet he says what here? Our Father. For we too are children of God. It establishes this great relational understanding of when we're going into prayer. I think back to some of my prayers when I was a kid. And when I would pray, like before a meal, we'd always say the same exact thing. Doesn't matter who was praying. Bam, 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 bam. And you said it as fast as you could because you were like 12 and you were hungry. Right? Been out playing all day and it's time to eat. Thank you for this food. Thank you for the day. Thank you for my family. Amen. Let's eat. And now I think a little different as I got older. As I got a little deeper in here with my children, they started to kind of get into this recitation. And I remember my older daughter was praying one time, and she's like saying the same words for like the fourth time. I'm like, whoa! All right, we're going to pray different tonight. I want you to tell God what's on your heart. I want you to say what you're truly thankful for in this moment as you're thinking about it right now. Because if this is truly our dad in heaven, if this is truly the God we serve and he's our Father, then we've got to start acting like it. We've got to free ourselves from these constraints of recited prayer, of what we have been taught, of how we want to look in church because, oh, this is the way my dad or my granddad did it. And I tried to pray like my granddad did for a long time with the these and the thous and the thys and all of that in there. And I'm going to tell you, it didn't work for me. I had to break the chains of my prayer life. I had to be set free. Jesus tells us if you're set free, then you are free indeed. And I had to start talking to my Father like he was really my dad. Instead of like he's some invisible wishing well that I throw coins into every once in a while when I have need. No, he's my Father and he wants to hear from me every day. Break free of strangling your prayers. If we go back here in the book of Psalm, and we see in 3 and 4, it says this, what an amazing thing happens. But you, Lord, are my shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. See, that's the last part here. Our Father who is in heaven. See, God's separated from us. He is in the eternal. He is the eternal. He resides in the eternal. You know, that's a good thing and a bad thing. The bad thing is because we live broken, we live separated from God. It used to be once upon a time ago, not as in a fairy tale, but as in reality with Adam and Eve, that God walked with Adam and Eve. He was present with them. And then the fall happened, and he even tells Moses, to put your eyes upon me would certainly destroy you. Because of our broken nature, we can no longer walk with God in the physical, but I'm here to tell you we can walk with him in the spirit. That's prayer. We walk with him in the power of the Spirit. And when we remember, though, number two, that he is in the eternal, that means everything is done. And that means he knows everything. And he knows everything and what needs to happen. And as we pray out to him, we pray as David did. And we say, we know that you are our shield. We know that you will rescue us because it's already been done. It's this amazing thing to pray. Look back upon your life. I always encourage people to keep a prayer journal. Yes, fellas, I call it a journal, not a diary. You guys are included. Men have a hard time writing for the most part because we don't like to express our feelings out. But it's good that you keep a journal of what you pray. I have one. It's wonderful. It's part of the program I have. and I put my prayers in there. And when you pray, when you ask me to pray for you, I put it in there. And then I put all the answers in there of what's happening. And I look back on my life sometimes, and I look back on these prayers I had. And you know, I realize God has set me up every single step of the way. Now, I've tried to mess God up an awful lot by doing what I thought was good, by doing what I thought I needed to do, by being who I thought I needed to be. So I tried to mess God's plans up pretty good. But the great thing about God is he's even bigger than I am. So that he can go in here and he is setting me up step for step for step for step. And as you look back upon it, I look back upon it now and I say, why? Why, Lord, did you make me be a teacher in the military? I didn't want to go teach, but I knew I needed to do something. We couldn't stay where we were at. It was a bad time in our lives and we didn't need to be where we were at. So I transferred. The only way to transfer out was to become an instructor in the military. So I applied for that and I got to go do that. But what did that lead to? Well, it led me to learning how to do all this speaking and stuff in public, which, by the way, I hate to do. It freaks me out to talk in front of people. This is only the Holy Spirit working right here. That's the only reason I can even speak in front of people. And that taught me how to do that, and it taught me how to do lesson plans. I said, well, I don't know, make any sense to me, but I'll do it, Lord. And then I was introduced to a great pastor in a great church place, and then he asked the question, hey, have you ever thought of being a pastor? And he planted that seed in my brain. And I said, are you nuts? They don't make people like me pastors. Have you seen my past? He says, you just look at mine. And we got transferred out of there, and I stayed there for a long time. I didn't know why. But we prayed about it. And looking back now, I realize God was setting up dominoes. And as he's watching above and he's watching them fall, he said, man, I got you. I'm answering those prayers you're sending up. I'm hearing you, my child. Just trust in me because I got things lined up for you. And so we remember that we're praying to this God in heaven who knows all things, is all things, created all things, and is the most holy of holies. He is our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Hallowed is just another way of saying holy. Holy is your name. See, God is the holiest of holies. He is the set apart of the set apart. He is the originator of holy. He is the one who is out there above all, and he created all things, and he is all things. And we go back here to Psalm 3 in verse 5 and 6. I lay down and sleep. I awake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side. See, David trusted in this holy God that was above all things, that was more powerful than all things, even more powerful than the tens of thousands what sought to destroy him. He says, I know you're bigger than that. I know you're holier than that. See, David wasn't afraid because God was bigger. God was set apart. See, that's the amazing thing when we pray to God. We remember that he's this God that's set apart from all things. And he has the power over all things. For God is God, the only one there is. He is above all and he has created all. As a matter of fact, he's so powerful, we go back to the beginning. Go back to way in the beginning. And God said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. Out of the darkness, God brought about light. For he is the light of the world. There is no darkness within him. And we see this power even at the beginning of this God that is holy and set apart. But what does that mean? It means to be set apart from all the rest. If we go to John chapter 17, in verse 15, and it says this, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that it is that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of it. And if we go on to read, and I know it's not up there, but it says this, sanctify them by the truth, by your word of truth. And so we have this holy sanctification, this set apartedness of God. And even in his word, as we pray, we are becoming holy as he is holy. We are taking all of this stuff that we are not supposed to be, which is of the world, and we are casting it out. We are giving it up to him and saying, take it from me, Lord God. Make me holy as you are holy. Set me apart for your work. For we are called to be like Christ. Look, we will never achieve being God. That was Adam and Eve's problem. They wanted not to be like God. They wanted to be God. See, it's okay to be like God. It's okay to have the attributes of God. Love, grace, mercy, authority and power in his word. See, it's okay to be like God, to have those attributes of God. Just don't strive to be God. That was also Satan's problem. He said, hey, look, I can do this better. And he wanted to be God. But in this prayer, as we're praying about this hallowedness of God's name, we are actually not only calling him hallowed and him above all things and him powerful and him mighty and his authority reigning, we're also calling ourselves to be like him. For shouldn't we be different than them? 1 Peter 1 verse 16, and it says that, be holy as he is holy, or as I am holy. That's what God has called us to do, is to be set apart and set apart from the world. So the question you ask yourself as you're praying this, Lord, hallowed be your name. Lord, how mighty are you? How powerful are you? Am I like you? Am I set apart from the world? As I analyze my life and I'm praying and I ask myself, well, how do I talk? How do I look? How do I act? How am I being towards other people? Is it like God or is it like everybody else? Because look, if I don't look different than everybody else in the world, if I don't talk different than everybody else in the world, if I don't act different than everybody else in the world, guess what? I'm not holy as he is holy. All I am is just of the world. This is a call for us to be like that. I think about my buddy James. He's like 1,000 times smarter than I am. And he talks like smarter than I do. I'm like still learning to be that smart. But you know, he's got this thing about him. He's different. He loves to go fishing. He's a fisher guy. Matter of fact, when we planted the church in Texas, he put it by the lake, I think, on purpose. If you're watching, James, I'm telling you, that wasn't the property available. That was the one you wanted. And it's down there just a few miles from the lake, and he goes down and he goes fishing all the time. And you know, he goes out on the dock sometimes. He was telling me the stories. He went on the dock one day, and he was just kind of sitting out there listening to the conversation of the men out on the dock and the wonderful, colorful words that were coming out and the context of what they were speaking about. And they were talking about what each other does. And he looked at him and said, hey, how's things going? Yeah. And James says, I'm good. And he says, oh, what do you do? He says, well, I'm the pastor at the church down the road. And all of a sudden, everything changed. Language cleaned up. The topic of, oh, we're sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry. How do we look to the world? Same thing kind of happens to me pretty much everywhere I go. It seems like people need to act a certain way around me. Well, that's the pastor. Look, I ain't Jesus, all right? I want to be close, but I ain't Jesus. But oh, even on I do online gaming. I'm a gamer. I say that without shame, all right? I'm a 43-year-old gamer. I do not live in my mother's basement. I have my own basement. My wife hates that I game. It takes too much time away from her. I try to get her into it. She won't do it. I said, well, that's your fault. You could have spent time with me. That doesn't float the boat. But I get on there, and so most of my handles are either like Pastor B or Preacher Man 777, and we have an online chat area where we go talk during the gaming. You know, you got to communicate. You know, go over here, kill this guy. Hey, that guy's killing me. You know, that kind of stuff. As soon as I step on there, though, oh, Preacher Man's here. Shh. Mostly because they're saying bad things about me. That's okay. But if this whole demeanor changes, the conversation in the group changes. And you know what? Even I can get, hey, look, I told you it wasn't Jesus. Even I can get a little out of sorts on there. And you know what? They hold me accountable. They say, is that what a preacher would say? I said, no, but I left that hat at home. But it's because I'm holy. And you're holy. And if people know you and you walk into a group of people, do they change what they're talking about? Do they change their language? Do they change their demeanor? Is your presence a conviction and uncomfortableness upon their hearts? Because it ought to be. They ought to look at you and say, oh no, look, it's the Christian coming. And you wear that badge with honor and with pride because you know it's for Christ and the light that shines without you that is convicting them to be different too. So that they can pray with us, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. And there's a reason, as we close up, this is my last point, there's a reason why this is at the beginning. And that's because God wants us to realize who He is and who we are. He wants us to stand up for who He is and who we are. And we read here in Psalm 7 and 8, and it says this. I want to read this for you in Psalm 3, verse 7 and 8. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies in the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. For the Lord comes. Or from the Lord comes deliverance, may the blessing be upon you. Now, I got a question for you. When was the last time you prayed like that? Devil, stomp him in the teeth. Get him out of here. Cast him out, Lord. Matter of fact, my neighbor who's a pain in my neck, you can take him out too. No, I'm just kidding. We don't pray that way. That's not what he's saying. Take evil by the horns and tear it apart. Do you pray with power and authority like that? For that is the power and authority that God has granted you. For your God is holy and He is powerful and He loves you and He wants you to pray with that kind of authority, with that kind of meaning, with that kind of love in your heart. He wants you to pray hard and He wants you to pray fast and He wants you to pray with power. James 4 and verse 10. I love what he's saying here. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. So not only is there this power and authority which we pray by, there's this humility that comes from saying, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, not my name. Any authority that I pray by is by the authority of Jesus Christ. That's why we add that little tagline on the end of when we pray, in the name of Jesus we pray these things. That little tagline, we call that the tagline. That's the power line. That's the one that gives it authority. That's the one that makes it authentic. That's the one that will cast out the devil, lest we be the one. Well, the demon says, I know who Paul is and I know who Jesus is, but who are you? That's the scary place. So we pray in the power of Jesus' name these things, but He does give us that authority. But He puts this in here so that we get the proper perspective of who God is and who we are. It's His authority. It's His power. But you can wield that. He said so. And it's why David prays these fervent, powerful prayers, because he knows the Lord shows up. And then finally, we realize then God's love. We realize His love and His reliability. God shows up. God shows up. up. And he can show up in your life. You want to move in this world. You want God to be present in your life. Let me tell you, it begins with powerful prayer. It begins with personal prayer. It begins with reminding ourselves God is God and we are not. It starts by reminding us that all of these things are about God and we are to be like Him. And then finally we realize God loves you and wants to hear from you. Here's this big God, this creator of the universe, this one who has done all things. He loves you. And he wants to hear from you. And he cares about what you have to say. He cares about what you have to say. He cares about your hurts. He cares about your dreams and your hopes. He cares to hear from you. We realize that this thing that we call prayer is just a conversation. We break free of the babbling and the recitationness of our prayers, and we break free into this relationship with God. We realize it's just a conversation. Let me tell you, when you realize that, then things get really crazy because then you just start praying anywhere. And people at Walmart look at you. Well, maybe not people at Walmart. They're all weird there. But definitely people when you go to the Hy-Vee look weird at you, okay? And then you learn that you can wrestle with God. You know, just the other day I was arguing with God over what the Word said. I didn't agree with it. I didn't like it. And it convicted my heart and I didn't want to change. I said, Lord, that's dumb. Maybe not. Maybe I'm dumb. Maybe I just need to work this thing out. Lord, break my heart for this part. Humble me. Soften my heart for this word that I'm having a hard time with. Because I know you're God and I'm not. And God wanted to hear that from me. He wanted me to wrestle with that. He wants you to wrestle with Him. He wants you to wrestle in prayer. And He wants you to love Him in prayer. And He wants you to lay your life out there. I'm telling you, read the book of Job. It's such a wonderful book. If you haven't read it, if you have read it, go back and read it again. Because here's this man and he's just pouring his life out. He's pouring his hurt out. He's calling God out saying, what did I ever do to deserve this? Got his three buddies around him. Wonderful people, by the way. And a wife, what a keeper. She says, curse God and die already. Thanks for the... If you got a wife like that, get a new one. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That's purely a joke. Pray for her. Pray for her. And Job just calls out, folks, I'm here to tell you, a powerful prayer life is one step away. It's simply freeing your heart to speak to God. It's simply letting go of what you thought and grabbing hold of what is. It's letting go and reminding yourself of the promises of God and who He is. He wants to answer you. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to hear what you have to say. He wants to hear your hopes and your dreams and your love. God is not so big that He doesn't love you and want to hear from you. When you learn this, man, I promise your prayer life gets stronger and your life changes forever. You will be deeper in love with God. You will be a powerful weapon against the enemy. And you will truly know three things. God is above all things. He is holy and He is in love with you. So let us pray. Jesus, you're amazing. You've given us this wonderful word of prayer in our lives for us to start from, for us to be in. This wonderful, amazing communication with the Father. Be upon our hearts to take full advantage of that. To go in deep and give full love and blessing to the Lord. to you, God, by our prayer. Let our prayer be powerful and amazing in you. As we reach out to you, then know that you love us and you want to hear from us. We pray this in the power of Jesus' name. Amen.